This is Stacking the Box with NFL insider Matt Bertaram and Mark Carman.
That's right. Championship Sunday is set. Welcome into Stacking the Box, Mark Carman and our hero, Matt Bertaram. Your Chiefs survived, pal, but that was as dicey as they come. And let me just say this. I know Andy Reid's getting all sorts of love for his decision to go for it on fourth down. You've got a backup quarterback out there. You're up 5 points. You got Baker Mayfield on the other side of the field. In my mind, you punt the football and you win the football game that way. He went for it. Everyone's saluting him. That's Andy Reid. You don't ever say that he's a, you know, he's too conservative, whatever. I hated it in the moment. Where were you at? I know you probably talked about this on the Arrowhead Attic podcast as well, but come on, man. I thought that was ridiculous.
I was willing to punch a small child when Chad Henne dropped back the pass, both on fourth and one and earlier in that drive when Cleveland was out of timeouts, on second and eight. And he got sacked, and they ended up third and 14. He scrambles out because they threw it again. Look, that's one of those things, in my opinion, all's well that ends well, right? But see, if that's Mahomes, I feel differently.
Right, sure,
if
yes.
It's Mahomes, I 100%. You put the ball in his hands, fine. They did it all year. I get that. Now, I will say you and I are a little different on one thing. When it was fourth and inches, I would have gone for it, but I would have run the ball. Because they were blowing them off the ball.
Fair enough.
For over 5 yards of carry. Because to me, if you can't get 2 or 4 or 6 inches there, you don't deserve to win.
Okay, but how much time was on the clock? 2 minutes?
No, it was 1:15.
Right, under two. Yeah. You're at midfield. Look, if Joe Montana, if Tom Brady, not even this year's Tom Brady, is on the other side of the field, I get it. You're going up against Baker Mayfield. You punt the football, man. I don't know.
I get that. I hear that argument. And Mayfield was, you know, he threw for 5.5 yards in attempt today. It wasn't like he was ripping them apart. But I also understood the idea of, look, if we get 6 inches, the game's over. But
I get it.
I will say this because I in the moment also wanted to go out of my mind. But after the game, Henne said something I thought was interesting, which is why I bring it up. He said, Pat and I had talked about if there's a situation where they're in fourth, if we're in fourth and short and we got to have it, what plays do we want? And that play, because they thought the Browns would be in man based off film study, they're like, we can get Hill anytime we want on that play. So I get it. Like Andy, that wasn't just a whim move. He was like, look, we know we have this, but you got to execute it. Like that's a dangerous thing.
But didn't they run it in week 12, too, the same exact situation, I think, against Miami or whoever it was?
Tampa. Yeah, but I mean, it worked. I mean, credit where it's due. It worked. They made it work. But I agree. Like, that's the kind of thing. If it works, you're a hero. If it doesn't work, you're the dumbest bastard in the league for a whole week.
Which is why it just bothers me that so much sports analysis is based on the result and not actually the process that went into it or the way we evaluate who's the greatest quarterback? Well, Tom Brady, he won 6. Or who's the greatest basketball player? Well, Jordan's better than LeBron because he won 6. Like, it's just such a simplistic way of breaking it down. Like, there's, whether it worked or didn't work, like, what went into that decision, Andy? Like, I'd love to hear the way he was thinking about it, but whatever, it worked. And Listen, we're getting Chiefs and Bills. Did you have, by the way, I saw a tweet from you. Did you have it wrong that the Bills were a 1.5 point favorite?
No, they actually, when the books came out, now obviously there's a million books, but there were some books that had the game as a pick 'em when it first came out. And it had the Bills as a 1.5 point favorite.
That's crazy because now it's the Chiefs are a 2.5 point favorite and
they're up to 3.
Now up to 3. Okay, well, because
at least in Nevada, it's 3.
Right. And well, I looked at DraftKings and FanDuel. They were 2.5, but that was a couple hours ago. I haven't looked in the last, you know, whatever. And the news is out that, you know, at least Andy's saying that Mahomes is doing great and I think we all expect that he'll play, although
Jake Glazer reported that it really didn't even appear that he had a concussion. That he basically got choked out on the tackle and had an air, an oxygen issue.
It was a weird thing.
Like, he hit his head.
Right.
It was bizarre.
Because I had an errand that I was running, and so I'm coming back. I missed like 10 minutes of the game. I come back. I'm like, what the hell happened to Patrick Mahomes? And then I look back at the highlight. I'm like, that doesn't look like, it's just, I don't know. I was just surprised that. I thought there has to be something more than just that.
Right. Normally you get a knee to the head or your head snaps back and hits the turf. It wasn't any of that. Look, I will say this. I did talk to one person close to the team who did not divulge a ton on Mahomes, which I don't think is overly shocking, but was very happy. I mean, felt great after the win. So it didn't seem as though this source was overly concerned. I'll say that. Again, I did ask about Mahomes, didn't get a specific answer. I don't even know how many answers they have currently.
Right.
I'm still working on that. But it is what it is. Right now, they're optimistic, apparently, according to Glazer, whoever he talked to. And Mahomes, after the game, was bouncing around and apparently wanted to go back in the game. And they couldn't clear him. But we'll see. I personally, again, it's an opinion. I would be very surprised if he does not play on Sunday.
Yeah, me as well.
Very surprised. I know it's an independent neurologist, but let's be real. I would be shocked.
Let's move around from the weekend, and we'll go back to Saturday. And let's actually start Saturday night. Buffalo and the Ravens, 17-3. I get that it's playoff football, and I get that was a great matchup, but that was so freaking boring.
It was bad.
It was just awful. And when Lamar threw the pick in the end zone, that was it. Bottom line.
Oh,
and
oh God, yeah.
That was extremely deflating. Josh Allen was fine, I guess. Whatever. The Bills are into the AFC Championship game. End of story. But I don't know how much you could take out of that game and feel like, all right, the Bills are ready to rock and roll with the Chiefs. That's what I got, at least.
Look, so here's my thing. Everybody and their mother's like, well, you can't get on Josh Allen. There was wind. Hey, guys, it's January. There's going to be wind sometimes. Like, he didn't play well. It's fine to just say that. Look, you and I have both said, and sung Allen's praises all year long. He's been terrific. He was great against the Colts. He didn't play well against the Ravens. It is what it is. Now, you want to say the deep shot that Diggs got blown off. Okay, fine. I'll hear that argument. But he did not play well, by and large, throughout the game. However, Lamar Jackson played even worse. Lamar Jackson was effectively awful throughout most of that game. And that 101-yard, whatever the official total was on a pick six. Oh, I mean, the second he threw it, and it was a horrible throw. He threw to four different Bills on that play. I mean, there was a group of guys.
Yeah, I'm looking at him like, well, what didn't he see? It's like, I don't know what the hell he was looking at. Like, in real time, it's like, You kind of wonder, how did that happen? You're looking for, at least I was looking for an excuse for him. And then when they slow it down, you see, like, what the hell was that?
I will say, and we don't have to go way in depth here, but you know what? Because I'm going to write my columnist, and I spoke to three sources around the league on this one. And Allen and Jackson are both not due for, but eligible for extensions this offseason. They're through their third years. Now, Allen, I didn't even get into because Allen's going to get extended as well. He should. He's going to make a boatload of money. What do you do if you're the Ravens with Jackson? Like, talking to sources around the league, the belief is, and it's also, to be frank, my belief, both going into those conversations and coming out of them, they will pay him. They will pay him a fortune. They will pay him right below Patrick Mahomes' money. But I got to tell you, and a couple of the sources felt the same way as this, I would be very uneasy doing it if I was Baltimore. Very.
Yeah, that's a rock and a hard place. I mean, you're talking about a league MVP. You're talking about one of the most unique quarterbacks in the league. You're talking about a guy who, even in a bad season, went 11-5 after winning 14 games last year. But, I'd be comfortable. You're going to sign him. 4 years, 140? Is that about right?
You're paying him more than that.
4 years, 160?
I think he's getting $40 million a year. Yep, no doubt. And I got to tell you, I get it if you're Baltimore. I get it. And if you're going to sign him, you're better off signing him sooner rather than later, right? Because the cap's only going to explode with TV money, and money always goes up. And you, the earlier you sign him, the more prime years you're getting in that deal and not, you know, 30 plus.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, man, I'm nervous about it if I'm Baltimore. I get it. I get it. And I think they're going to sign him too. I don't want to give away a ton of the column. Well, hell, if you listen, you deserve it. But I, talking to sources around the league who are plugged in, who you know, who would certainly be aware of the thought process and everything else, the belief is, yeah, they'll sign him this offseason. But they may come to regret it. I will say, and I'll finish with this. If you're the Ravens and you're going to sign in that amount of money, Willie Snead can't be starting at receiver anymore. Like, you need to do everything you can to surround the guy with talent to succeed. You have to. It's malpractice if you don't. And I don't know how you go about it when your offense is basically a high school offense. Like, you cannot, you are not winning the Super Bowl like that, Baltimore. I hate to break it to you. You have no shot of beating good teams like that in the playoffs. None.
Well, they, that was the most disheartening thing for me in the Bills game. The standard Buffalo third and four, Lamar's going to run it, and he's most times going to end up picking up 14 at bare minimum, getting the first down. He was, they were getting nothing. It was straight shutdown. So give Buffalo credit, but it was ugly.
Buffalo gets a ton of credit, and also let's call a spade a spade. Leslie Frazier, who's a very good defensive coordinator, basically said, "You're not running the ball. I am putting eight and at times nine guys up on the line of scrimmage. You are not going to beat us running the football. If you're beating us, it's his ass throwing it. That's how we're losing this game. He's throwing it down the field. We're going to play press man. He's got to beat it." And he couldn't do it the whole night. And I'm not just putting that on him. Look, the receivers have got to get open, everything. He couldn't do it. They could not do it.
Couldn't and didn't.
Three points.
Yep. Let's move over to the NFC in game one on Saturday. Green Bay 32, the Rams 18. Jared Goff getting talked in. Sean McVay is up in the air on who his quarterback will be next year. He's evaluating everything. Aaron Rodgers, 23 of 36, 296, couple of touchdowns. Beautiful, classic Rodgers read to Alan Lazard, who was behind the defense, and that was the sealer.
Yep.
Green Bay look good, man. Pack is rolling.
Well, great. I think right now they're playing like the best team in the league. I really do. Now, you know, I'm a big believer in matchups and styles, and so I'm not saying that they're just guaranteed to go. In fact, I think they're going to have a very tough game on their hands on Sunday. But
really?
Yeah, I do. The Buccaneers, I think, are going to give them a problem. I'm not saying they're going to lose, but I think the Buccaneers are going to be a formidable foe. And I think if they saw the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, I think that would not be a walk in the park either. but look, the Packers look great. You know, it's a weird game because you look at it like 32-18. Okay, they beat them. It felt like it was more than that. It felt like they destroyed them. And McVay saying, "Oh, we're going to evaluate everything." Here's the translation for that for people who maybe aren't aware. If we can get a better quarterback, we are going to do it. I just don't know if we can do it. That's the evaluation right there, because they know Goff isn't any good in terms of being a Super Bowl caliber guy year in and year out. And I want to take this second, though, give Goff a lot of credit. He was hurt. He played through it. He wasn't great, 21-27, a buck 74, but he wasn't awful. I mean, the Rams defense got shredded. If the Rams were going to win that game, they had to play better, and the Rams were awful. Could knock it off the field. They gave a million rushing yards, 188 rushing yards. You're not going to win the game like that. I don't care how well Goff plays. It was what it was.
I'm super excited for – look, and by the way, we'll get to it in a second, but the way Drew Brees went out, that's too bad. But Brady Rodgers is incredible. Tom Brady is – right now Green Bay is a four-point favorite here.
Right.
Yeah. Which – seems about right, but games I got right this week. I loved Green Bay. I had Buffalo. I thought the Chiefs would pound Cleveland, wrong, and I had the Saints. So my point of bringing that up is that I thought that Brady was going to meet his end today. He didn't. So now it feels like, am I downgrading Brady again going into this week? But I really like Green Bay a whole lot in this game. But give Tom Brady – 14 out of his 21 years, he's played in the championship game in the AFC or now NFC championship game. That's insanity. This season was, you know, a tad bit of a roller coaster for the Bucks, but here they are. Bottom line, I'm super excited. It's a great matchup. You can't ask for anything better than that. Rodgers and Brady, twilight of the career, the whole thing. Too bad that we're in the middle of the pandemic, but Lambeau's still going to be a lot of fun.
Yo, God, yeah. It's going to be incredible. The Bucks beat him 38-10. I think it was week 5. I don't get it all up into the matchups from earlier in the year because teams change. I mean, the Bucks just beat a team they lost to twice. Handily lost to twice. I, by the way, went 2-for-2 in the weekend. I picked the Chiefs, and I picked the Packers. I also picked the Saints, and I picked the Ravens, damn it. And you know what? I knew I should have went with the Bills, and I overthought it. Whatever. It is what it is. 2-2. You know, I think it's a weird matchup because Pettine, the defense coordinator for the Packers, is so incredibly passive. And Brady, if you don't pressure Brady this year, he just destroys you. So that is a concern I have in this game. And on the flip side, the Bucks are just going to go berserk blitzing Rodgers. And Rodgers, as great as he is, there's times where he struggles with that. So that's why I think it's an interesting matchup. I do think the Packers are better. You mentioned they're favored by 4. The Chiefs are favored right now by 3. I'm guessing that line might move some if Mahomes is cleared. But they should be very good games. It should be very exciting, and it's supposed to snow at Lambeau, which is just awesome.
20 degrees roughly is the forecast right now. As far as Drew Brees and company, 3 picks. He's coming back from multiple rib fractures. So good on Drew for getting out there, shaking hands with Brady after the game. Walking off the field, there's 500 people in the Superdome, if that. Hall of Famer, all of it just feels like it's a terrible – I don't know why I would ever have like a moment of sympathy for Drew Brees, who's had the greatest career ever, and is walking off, you know, an incredibly rich man and had the greatest experiences in life you can have, but it just didn't feel right.
Well, because I think when you see the great player, you want it to end well, but it rarely does end well. It just rarely does.
I mean, at least, like, it's one thing, okay, fine, you lost to Brady. Like, at least get a standing ovation, you know, coming off the field. Oh, we love you, Drew. Nothing. Dead silence, shaking Brady's hand. I mean, you got to want to puke.
Yeah, you probably do. But I don't think there's any way that he comes back. First of all, Glazer reports that he's done. And watching Brees, it just –
they were bad picks.
It's over, man. Yeah. It's over. You know, I know, like, quarterbacks are a lot like pitchers in that sense. When it goes, it just goes. And there's no bringing it back. Brees had a first ballot Hall of Fame career. No shame in it. Won a Super Bowl. But it's over.
I've seen a lot of people talking about this, and it's a great point. Look, he went down to Miami after his Chargers, you know, start of his career, you know, injured, doesn't pass a physical. Nick yep. Saban's the coach at the time. Saban doesn't end up working out, goes to Alabama. The Tide become the best NFL team in college football. Brees ends up in New Orleans, wins a Super Bowl. Sean Payton, like, there was so many things could have happened at that point in time. If he stays in Miami, does Saban become a successful NFL coach? What happens to the Dolphins, all of it. But just a really fascinating start to a career that ends up in the Hall of Fame. Very rarely do you go from nobody in the world wants you to a Super Bowl champion, NFL MVP, and where does he rank yardage wise at the top? Right? Am I nuts? Am I losing my mind right now at 10:30 at night?
No, he's at the top.
He's right. He's at the top. I mean, that's incredible. Really, I mean, an unbelievable. And also, you know, 6 feet tall, in the pocket passer, just an incredible career.
One of the all-time great careers. And it started out so bad at the Chargers that they drafted Rivers, and rightfully so. It looked like he was going to be a bust. And he gets hurt at the end of what is a very good season with San Diego. Goes to the Saints when they are coming off of everything that went on with Katrina. won one of the most impactful Super Bowls the city's ever had. He had an unbelievable career, and he deserves to be celebrated for it. Now, that said, let's be honest. It's over. I mean, because, you know, the people get so like, well, you know, no, come on. It's over. It's okay. He's 41. He's fine. It's over. Brady right. somehow continues to just defy all logic and time. I mean, Brady, I think, can play at least 50.
Did you watch his post-game interview?
Breeze?
Brady on the field.
No, I did not.
I mean, so he's just sitting there and, you know, he's looking like Tom Brady, GQ, you know, the $7 zillion smile, and everyone's, you know, then after the interview, he's run out the field and he's shaking everyone's hand. He's got the huge smile. It's like, you know, he's answering all the questions. Yeah, I just want to say hi to my mom and my dad and my kid. I'm like, oh my God, do you have to be this perfect? I mean, my God, but he is.
Terrible person.
Yeah, no, he's actually not. No, he's. You gotta appreciate him. The guy's too good to be. It's just like, is anybody really this perfect? Is anybody? You've got 6 Super Bowls. You're going. You took the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Tampa Bay Bucks. Let's just remember where he went. I'm gonna go down to Tampa. And granted, there was a lot of talent, but he sized up where he was going. And I'm gonna take you to the NFC Championship game. We're gonna play the Packers. And by the way, we might end up back in the Super Bowl. And if there's an upset on the other side of the coin, hey, Buffalo, remember, I've killed you my entire life. I'm going to do it one more time. And maybe I'll come back for another 3 years. Anyway, all right, let's move forward. Speaking of that, which underdog do you like more, Verderam? I'm assuming you are in on Tampa over the Pack more than the Bills over the Chiefs.
Is Mahomes playing?
I think he is. Don't so you?
If Mahomes is not playing, it has to be the Bills. If Mahomes is playing, I think the Bucs have a better shot to win. Now, I'll be honest. I'm worried about the Chiefs a little bit in terms of
being banged up. I'm surprised. Go ahead. Let's hear it.
I think it's a harder matchup for the Packers than it is for the Chiefs. The Bills don't have tight ends and backs that scare you, which is a problem for Kansas City. And if they see the Packers, it's going to be a problem. The Bills don't do that. They don't run the ball. They don't throw to the backs. They don't throw to the tight end a ton. The Chiefs are really good at taking out receivers. You know, do you happen to know what Jarvis Landry did today?
Tell me.
7 catches for 20 yards.
Wow.
The Chiefs have a really good secondary. It doesn't get play because they're just so dominant offensively. I'll give you a name. Lajarius Sneed, who is a rookie corner for the Chiefs. I would say that right now, based off just the way he plays, he's a top 10 corner in the NFL. And that's not even a bias thing. That is just a genuine, honest to God. I watch every team in the league. Lajarius Sneed is ridiculous. And I think if you're the Bills, when they played him the first time, Stephon Diggs, as great as he's been all year, at 6 catches for 46 yards. The Chiefs, and Sneed didn't even play in that game. He will be in this one, obviously. Like, the Chiefs have a way of taking away your receivers. And so I think it's tougher than the flip side of that. Buffalo does not get pressure and they blitz a lot. And if they do that against the Chiefs and they don't get home, it just never ends well the other direction.
My favorite Jarvis Landry moment today was when he was calling for the football and Baker threw it 10 minutes late and Kenneth Penny picked it off. Remember that play?
Who picked it off?
Did I not say it right? Who's 45?
45?
Who? Yes.
No. On the Chiefs?
Didn't a linebacker by the name of 45 pick off a pass today?
Not for the Chiefs. For the Bucks, Devin White did it. Number 45. For the Chiefs, it was Tyrann Mathieu who picked it off.
I'm thinking of some play that's not in the – I'm having football.
You're having a borderline aneurysm, but the play you're thinking of was in the third quarter, to start the third quarter. Landry was open across the middle and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And, yeah, Mayfield threw it late.
And who picked it off?
Tyrann Mathieu. He jumped the route. You're thinking of Devin White of the Bucks, who's number 45, who's a linebacker.
I'm literally thinking
of – But you called him like – Penny or something. I don't know what the hell just happened.
There's a Kenneth Penny on the Chiefs is 45. I was looking it up.
I honestly, God, I didn't know who that is.
I mean, unless it's a
no
Kenneth
idea
Pennington.
Who that is. I can tell you right now, though, he didn't have a pick. I don't know who that is, man.
All right, but that is a Sunday night combination of playoff football, which just shows that I need to do less drugs when I was at the University of Iowa. That whoever the 45 that I'm talking about, that I'm combining two plays now, who literally just smacked the shit out of what would be wide receiver was trying to tackle him. Now, that was in the Saints game. 13 was trying to tackle him, and he just like smacked him back 10 yards. That was very enjoyable. Don't even think about touching me. But and Baker, he's like pointing, go over there. He's waiting. And then I'm like, you know what, Baker, you're not Aaron Rodgers, my friend. And then Baker, by the way, had a couple of there were some moments today where I was like, okay, Baker, like he threw some pretty good balls.
He made a couple of really nice throws. Yeah. Like it was he had moments. But again, but this is why I go back to I do think the Chiefs are well positioned against both. Now Allen is much better than Baker Mayfield. I'm not arguing that. He's got better weapons on the outside. Excuse me. I'm losing my voice now. But the Chiefs did a great job the whole day of limiting them throwing the football. I mean, 5.5 yards an attempt. The Chiefs are good at that. The Chiefs are very good in pass defense. And Buffalo, unlike Cleveland, cannot run. They don't even try to run. So I just think the Chiefs match up well. And I'll give you one other thing. The fact that Josh Allen was named a co-second team All-Pro with Mahomes, if Mahomes is healthy for this game, he's going to come out to prove a point. He is petty in that regard. I don't think that hurts them either.
We covered this earlier, but just to keep with the rundown here, should the Ravens pay Lamar a huge sum this offseason? We hit that.
We did.
And I would just, upon further review 10 minutes later, you pay Lamar. You give Lamar his money. You have no other option. And, like, because there is so much bad quarterback money going around in the NFL right now. I mean, just look at what we were talking about earlier with Jared Goff. I mean,
right.
You pay Lamar. I think you have to. You want to add anything else onto it?
No, I mean, look, again, to reiterate, I think you have to. But I think they're going to do it winching. Because unless something changes with now, again, are you sticking with this offense? Because I'm telling you, they're not winning the Super Bowl like this. They're not. It's so ridiculously one-dimensional. You don't even have to worry about him throwing. And frankly, if you're like, would you pay Baker Mayfield $40 million a year?
No.
Okay. Baker Mayfield's a better thrower of the football than Lamar Jackson is.
He is, but
unquestioned. Now, I get it. I'm not a moron. I understand Jackson also has rushed for 100 or 1,000 yards the last 2 years. But A, that's going to dissipate over time. And B, is that something you really are like, if you're paying him because of that ability, I get it. It gets really unique and it's a matchup nightmare. But like, do we really think he's running for 1,000 yards every year? Like no, it would scare the hell out of me. Like, what happens when he starts running for 500, 600 yards a year? Then what?
And you're going to get diminishing returns on that over his career, of course. And eventually you're also playing with fire. He's going to get hurt. What's interesting to me, look, you've got Jacksonville sitting there with the number one overall pick. Do they want any of these quarterbacks? As we move on, will the Texans ultimately trade Deshaun Watson? I mean, hey, Jacksonville, do you want Deshaun Watson? Because we'd love the number one pick. Deshaun doesn't want to be here. You want to go with the sure thing? Here's our guy. I mean, if I'm Jacksonville, that is so freaking tempting. And I think that's the best move for the Texans. But is there, like, and the other side of it, like, what happens if Baltimore wanted to get crazy? Hey, Jacksonville, you interested in Lamar? You know, I don't know. There is opportunities for people to get creative right now. Dallas, hey, Jacksonville, you like Dak? We want, you know, I don't know. But the question is, will the Texans ultimately trade Deshaun Watson? If they do, there's going to be a long, 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 long list. And maybe Houston can get a package that would make remote sense, but I don't think they're going to do it, even though the news that keeps coming out is that people really think he's going to end up elsewhere.
Look, Schefter tweeting that out, and nobody's more plugged in than Schefter
right at
this point in time. He's not doing that guessing. Like, he's getting told, yeah, he's out of here. That's it. Now, if you've covered the league a little bit. You understand where that's coming from. That's coming from Watson's representation, that they're telling Schefter, hey, you can go ahead and report it. Our guy wants out. He's out of here. They understand how this works because now that puts pressure on Houston. And if I'm the Texans, if I'm Cal McNair, who owns the team, and my understanding with him is he's a pretty hands-off owner. He's a nice man, but he doesn't really get involved. I am sitting down with Deshaun Watson and saying, look, I am not trading you. What do we have to do to make you happy? Is that fire Jack Easterby? Because I'll fire him yesterday. Is that what it takes? I'll eat the money. I'm Cal McNair. I have more money than I know what to do with. I don't care. He's gone. I will fire him tomorrow. Is it Eric Bieniemy coming into town? Because if it's Eric Bieniemy, I will sit Eric Bieniemy down and say, look, Deshaun's not going anywhere. Here's a blank check. What do you want? What is it going to take? Because if you trade him, they are an expansion team. They're an expansion team.
Well, hold on. If you're Jacksonville, would you do that? Let me get – I'll take Deshaun Watson for the number one pick. Would you do it?
Damn, man. That's a good question. I'll start by saying that it will never happen because they won't trade him in the division. But would I do it? Yeah, I probably would do it.
So you would think –
I know he's great.
Right. You would have to think long and hard with it. And if you're Houston and this dude doesn't want to be here.
Right.
And I get it. And I'm going to get Trevor Lawrence, who I think is really, really good. And I'm not getting
rookie contract.
And I'm going to get a rookie contract. I hear you. There could be a win-win here.
But I don't think it happens in the division. I'd be absolutely floored.
Okay. Well,
he wants to go to Miami. Which, listen, now, that's nice he wants to go to Miami. The Texans don't care, I'm sure. But Miami has two first-round picks and Tua. So if Miami calls up and by the way, Miami should call up and offer this in a heartbeat. Tua, number three pick, our other first-round pick, which I think off the top of my head is number 18, and another pick next year. Another first-round pick. Like, would the Texans do it? I don't know. But if I'm Cal McNair, if I'm the ownership there, I am literally sitting him down saying, look, I'm not dealing with you. I will do whatever you want me to do because I feel like this franchise has gone so far off the rails at this point. I mean, did you read the SI feature on the whole situation down there?
Yeah, not good.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Easterby thinks like there's like the SI is somehow like in some covert attempt to like take him down. I mean, what is going on? Easterby has never done anything on a personnel side. He's a pastor, for God's sake. And they're all like horrified to go any other route with this guy. Why is anyone listening to Jack Easterby? Who cares?
Yes, and reminding back to McNair, like, if you sit him down, let's just say we play out that scenario happens, and Deshaun just looks him in his eyes like, I respect you. I appreciate it, but I just don't want to be here. What do you do at that point? You give it your best go multiple times. You try to convince me. Yeah, I hear you, and my heart's not in it. Tough spot for the Texans. I mean, and we've seen this is the world of sports right now. The players have a lot more power, and deservedly so, for that matter. By the way,
right?
That maybe you got to try to make your best win-win deal that you can. Texans fans are going to be Texans fans. They're going to be pissed. And it's been rough in Houston. We got James Harden running around with the Nets putting up 30 some odd points, and I mean, strip club workers have lost a lot of dough.
Strip club workers, bad times in Houston, great times in Brooklyn. I mean, I'll tell you what, the strip club buffets are going to get hit hard now that James is in town. But that's neither here nor there. I'll close on this thought here. If I were Cal McNair and Deshaun Watson said, look, man, I appreciate you, but I'm not coming back, I would tell him, you just signed a 6-year extension and I will literally make you retire before I trade you.
Okay.
Because we're an expansion team if we trade you. I don't know if that's the way it goes, but if I was Cal McNair, I'd be like, it's going to be a cold day in hell before I trade you. So if you want to sit out and not get paid for 6 years, fine, because that's what it's going to take.
That would be that's just uncomfortable. All right.
We always see this crap though in the NBA, right? Like you see this all the time. Now I am not. I do not blame Deshaun Watson. Normally, I'm kind of anti-player when this stuff happens. Like when Anthony Davis is like, I want out of here. I've had enough. It's like, yeah, okay, fine. You have 2.5 years in your deal. But normally I think players sometimes, it's like, come on, you can't have cake and eat it too. You signed this huge contract, but now you're freaking out that you want out of there. In Watson's case, I get it because they broke a ton of promises to the guy. So, and everybody who knows him says he's an incredible person. So I'm not anti-Watson here at all on this. I'm not at all. I just am saying, if I were the owner, I would not trade him because I just think it's competitive suicide. But you know, you see this all the time in the NBA. These guys are like, I want out. I demand. And not only do I want to go out, I want to go to Philly. And I want, like, if I were the Rockets, now they got a bounty for Harden. Fine, I would have traded him to Detroit. I mean, you want out? You quit on me? Fine. Here, enjoy Detroit for the rest of your life. That's where you're going.
I get that, and the Brooklyn Nets are the dumbest team I've ever seen. Like what they
that
just
trade
did,
is not going to age well.
No, it's not. All right, let's move on to Patrick Mahomes. You've got it here. If Patrick Mahomes plays, what will we see from him on Sunday?
Little more NFL NBA crossover. Jordan game.
This is it. He's going to be MJ.
I forget who coined this term. It was one of the Chiefs players. He's going to go into God mode. Like if he's legitimate, I'm talking about healthy, not like he's out there and ambling around. If he's healthy, this is one of these things where Mahomes comes out and everybody's like, I don't know. And he throws for like 430 yards.
You think they're going to need that? You think they're going to need that level of performance?
No, but I think they're going to get it.
Okay.
Like, I think it's going to be one of these things where it's just an absolute, you're like, oh my God. Like this is, it's just, look, whenever guys like that are challenged, and it feels like, I don't know. And Brady's been like that his whole career. This is another reason, by the way, I give them a shot in this game on Sunday. But whenever the guys like that are challenged, like Jordan with the flu game, and I was like, or whatever, as we've turned that to learn that it's like the food poisoning game. Okay, whatever you want to term it. Those guys just seem to take it to another level. And I remember when Mahomes last year came back from that dislocated kneecap and everybody thought he was nuts because he only missed 2 weeks. And he never missed a practice with that. Never missed a practice. Comes back. They're playing in Tennessee, who last year actually had a decent defense. He threw for 446 yards in the game. Just destroyed them. It was unbelievable. He was literally on one leg. It was just killing them. So, yeah, man, I don't know. I could just see him going full on Michael Jordan mode in that game, and I kind of will if he's healthy.
See, I think I feel in Jordan mode in at least in my dream world here in the Super Bowl. Rodgers, Mahomes, Jordan, Rodgers, all of it. I don't think they're going to need it against the Bills. I think it'll be. I'm feeling more of like a slug it out, 28-19 Chiefs go to the Super Bowl. Allen throws a couple bad picks, maybe even fumbles the football on a Josh Allen run, gets hit from behind, something. I don't know. I don't think Buffalo's going to challenge the Chiefs as much as I think we're going to hear a lot of – there's going to be a lot of people predicting the Bills are going to win this football game this week.
A ton.
Yeah.
A ton.
And I don't see it, but we'll see. Looking forward to it. All right.
You ever answered, who do you like as an underdog? Who do you like more, Buffalo or Tampa?
I like Tampa more.
Okay.
But I don't – maybe I'm just – I picked all
chalk. You don't seem to like either one of them.
I don't. I picked all chalk this weekend. It was 3 out of 4.
I will say this. If Mahomes plays in that game against the Bills better finish the job early. Because that's one of those things, like if he's hanging around, you just know at some point it's coming.
Yeah, and look – the Chiefs keep on moving along here, but how many weeks in a row now have they not covered? 7?
9.
9 weeks. So you keep playing with fire. At some point, something doesn't bounce your way, and, give Chad Henne credit. That was phenomenal. 14-yard run. Why?
I will say this, though, today, we've agreed on this. I think if Mahomes doesn't get hurt today, they would have covered that spread.
Oh, right.
They looked like they were clearly on their way to winning fairly comfortably, and then that happened. So I think you kind of got to give them a little bit of a pass. Like, I think I think the Chiefs were winning by more than 10 today if Mahomes doesn't get hurt.
By the way, you also have a problem with your kicker.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
I mean, that could be a real problem.
You know what's amazing with him? I think that's the ninth extra point he's missed this year. He's missed three field goals the entire season. Like, and anything from 50 yards out, you might as well just put the points on the board. Like, anytime they need some, if I would, and I'm not exaggerating, if you said to me, the game's on the line next Sunday night, you can have Butker kick a 33-yard field goal or a 57-yard field goal. Weather is not a factor. What do you give me the 57-yarder?
Well,
it's like money in the bank, but he can't hit anything inside 35 yards.
And the 50-yarder, by the way, that it blasts against the net, like that would have been good from 65.
Yeah, it's he hit one from 67 in pregame. Like it's not. It's like a mental thing. I don't know what his deal is, but yeah. I agree.
Yeah. All right, in or out, let's move through here. The Browns have the brightest future in the AFC North. A lot of people giving Cleveland some big-time love for what they accomplished and all of it. You're one of those people, Matt Verderam. So I think you're going to say yes to this when you're in.
I'm in because I don't believe in Jackson as a passer. I just don't. People can kill me for it all they want. Fine. I don't care. He can't throw the ball. Not well enough anyway. Pittsburgh, to me, is done. They got a million free agents coming up. Roethlisberger is like Breeze, except he's going to play one more year. It's just over. And Cincinnati, I like the future there, but I think they're a few years away. So I like Cleveland. I really do. They got a killer ground game, great O-line. I like the way they're built. Now, they got to fix that defense. The defense is not good. But you've got that stud in Garrett and Ward in the second. You got a couple pieces to build around. So, look, I don't think they're infallible, but I like Stefanski a lot. I like the bones of the team. And I think he's figured out how to use Mayfield. So I do. I like them going forward.
I'm a little skeptical that when the schedule gets a little bit tougher here, I mean, Cleveland, they benefited this year by the schedule makers, or the way it fell, however you want to put it. I don't know. I'm not ready to write the Ravens off, even as ugly as they went out against Buffalo. So I'll still take Baltimore as the class of the North, at least in 2021. So I'm out. Let's go to the Saints are finished as contenders with Breeze's retirement, in or out. It's interesting. Like, do you elevate Jameis? Do you stay with Taysom Hill? Do you do something completely off the board?
I think
go ahead.
I think it's over. I'll be brief. I think it's over. I think it was over this year because Breeze was terrible. And I get it. You see all these people on Twitter like, come on, Jameis. Jameis sucks. Like, I hate to break this story. Jameis sucks. He throws picks nonstop.
What about the sweet throw on the trickeration?
Who cares? Like, Jarvis Landry hit a throw like that earlier this year. Like, that's fine. It was a great play, but like, the guy's wide open. I'd hope he'd hit him. Like, it's just, to me, I get it. Oh, 5,000 yards. Okay, great. He throws 30 friggin' picks. Like, could they make the playoffs with him? Yeah, but like, are they gonna go to the Super Bowl with Jameis? No, they're not. To me, and they're not going with Taysom Hill. Let's just put that to bed right now. So, yeah, I think they're done. I think they could still be a playoff team. Like, I could still see that, but they're not. As far as them, like, going to the Super Bowl, no, that's over.
I would agree with not going to the Super Bowl, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Saints are right back in the playoff conversation next year. They went 3-1 with Taysom. I don't even hate Jameis. And there's that Mitchell Trubisky guy in Chicago. He'd be interesting in the Saints uniform. I'd love to see that. Where you know he's going to end up in New England and Bill Belichick's going to make him into Jimmy Garoppolo or something. Let's do the Eagles. The Eagles have the most unattractive coaching vacancy. In or out?
I'm out if this stuff with Watson doesn't settle down. I'm out then because you're not going to Houston and dealing with Easterby and Casario to deal with no Deshaun Watson. And no first or second round pick. Now, you'd have picks if you trade a Watson, obviously. But I think the Eagles are still a really bad job right now. I really do. Like, I like the ownership. Lurie's a good owner. But a lot of people feel like Howie Roseman, it's a big power play there. And how long does he have left if things don't turn around? I don't know. And if you move on from a GM, you usually move on from a coach. I wouldn't want to go there. They are $70 million over the cap. And who the hell is the quarterback? Wentz? He's awful. I don't want Carson Wentz. So I do think the Houston job's worse just because it's an absolute dumpster fire, but like the Philly job is a tire fire. I don't think it's great, but it's better than the Houston job.
Yeah, what do you do? Well, I mean, the Eagles, you gotta somehow appease Carson Wentz. I don't know. I think that is the only thing that's good about the Eagles job is who are you worried about in that division? Like, you could climb pretty quickly. Is Dallas going to be super formidable next year because Dak's going to be back? I guess maybe. Are you worried about the Washington football team? So I feel like the Eagles could turn it around real quickly as far as just being a playoff contender. Hell, they were almost in the playoff conversation this year.
They could.
Yeah. All right. Robert Saleh, Verderam, has been the best head coaching hire so far, in or out. What do we think about that, the former 49ers defensive coordinator? Getting a lot of buzz here as he lands in New York.
I think Saleh is a great hire. Yeah, I'm in. He's the best hire. I'm not even going to go that deep because we're running along here. But I think he's a very good hire. Pairs well with Joe Douglas. They got to get an offensive mind in there that can get the job done. That's the only thing with these defensive hires. Like, you do worry about that. But, my God, the Chargers just, like, while we were doing this, hired Brendan Staley from the Rams. He's a 38-year-old defensive coordinator. The man's been in the league for 3 years, and the Chargers are like, that's fine. We'll bring him in. Good luck. I hope you're bringing in a really veteran offensive coordinator. But I like Saleh more than everybody else. Yeah.
What, you over Urban?
Oh, God, yeah. That's going to be a train wreck. I don't care. I'll just call, you know, and maybe I'll eat my words. If I do, hey, cool. I'm happy to eat them. But I'd be shocked, man.
I need to learn my Saleh. So I'm not I this is a tough one for me, but I don't know, man. Urban's been very successful. You're gonna pair him with Trevor. Could be interesting down there. And Brandon Staley, he was incredible in Chicago, man. They should never let him get out of there. Instead, he ended up leaving when Fangio left, and they ended up hiring Chuck Pagano, who was ready to retire and finally did. I don't know about him being a head coach. That's a very quick ride.
I'm not saying he's not a good coach, but like, you're the outside linebackers coach in Chicago for 2 years and the outside linebackers coach of the Broncos for a year. And yeah, the Rams defense was great this season. It's 1 year. You're 38 years old. Like, that is just, that it's is great. A lot. Yeah, here you go. Here's the whole team. Good luck.
Yeah. No. Okay. It's quick, but every time everybody brings up Brandon Staley around here, my guy Adam Hoge talks about him all the time. They love Brandon Staley.
Imagine not hiring Eric Bieniemy, who's been doing it for God knows. A guy who is, hey, we're all throwing darts here. Maybe Staley turns out to be great. But boy, there's a lot of stuff that goes into that hire. You're like, gee, really? Like, okay. Hope it works out for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's good to be white if you want to be an NFL head coach.
Right.
All right. What's going on over there, Verderam? You got anything left in the tank?
I'm exhausted, Carm. And I still got to write my stack in the box column. I'm done.
All right. Well,
I'm done. I'm exhausted. All hell, Chad Henne, who, you know, yeah, actually, I'll leave with this. And anybody who's not a Chief fan is going to be physically ill listening to this because it's so sappy. But anyone who is a Chief fan will really hopefully enjoy it. You know, the Chiefs always get thought of as a team, and rightfully so, that they win because they are flashy. They have Mahomes and Kelsey and Hill and Hardman, and it's the Legion of Zoom, and it's point a minute and everything, and I get that. And sure. The Chiefs showed why, though, in my opinion today, why they're the defending champions and why they're still around. Because in a game where they needed to make it happen, they did something that through most of my life they never did. They showed heart. They found their character. When Henne throws that pick with whatever it was, 6 minutes left, they're up by five, they're hanging on, everything's going wrong, the defense gets a three and out. When it's third and 14, Henne scrambles. Do you know that since 2015, Chad Henne has a total of -6 rushing yards, and he runs for 13 and a half yards on that play to get it on fourth. And also, and I know it's controversial, Daniel Sorensen's play at the end of the first half. whether or not it was a penalty, that was a great play. How many guys just give up on that play and let the guy go in? They maybe give a token jog. Daniel Sorensen never quit, went flying across the field and knocked the ball out. And I am with people who say they hate that rule. That's fine. I agree. But it is what it is. It is the rule. You got to know that if you're a receiver. I get there's an argument of did he hit him in the head? Whatever you want to say. It was a great play. And it's a play that any NFL player would try to make 100 times out of 100 if they were hustling and had a shot to do it.
We should have brought that part, that play up earlier in the podcast. I'm glad that it's making it here and at the end versus not at all. Number one, I hate the rule. Number two, can't fumble the football. You fumble the football.
Right.
I mean,
you know it's the rule. It's a stupid rule, but you know it's
true. But the rule doesn't matter. Like, you were reaching for the pylon. You didn't have to reach for the pylon, by the way. It wasn't the last play of the half. Like, right. you were straight out of your comfort zone, trying to stretch to the goal line. You took a risk. You lost. So, ultimately, it sucks for the Browns, but – you can't be fumbling the football, end of the day. So I will wrap up on this. Burram, this weekend, I had Giordano's pizza on Saturday night. I had Uncle Julio's Mexican tonight.
That's beautiful.
I feel like I just drove through Portillo's recently. We had queso with the Uncle Julio's, and I'm just slurping down chips and cheese. I'm straight. I can just feel it.
Disgusting.
I am disgusting. I am at least 5 pounds up right now. And I am just telling you right now, this next Sunday night after Championship Sunday, this week is going to be a winning week. Whatever it is, I'm going to come in here and I'm committing myself to excellence right now. And I'm putting it out there right now to get some extra accountability from you and all the Stacking the Box fans. So thank you for being here.
I'll just say, first of all, good for you. It sounds like a hell of a week. Second of all, I won't get too into this because nobody needs to. I was not feeling well throughout the day today as I was a nervous wreck. So let's just say I'm sure I'm downweight, and we'll go from there. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. I'm pretty sure I'm in good shape.
You know, when we do these videos, if you're just an audio listener, we pull clips, so we're doing it on Zoom. And you can just see, like, I'm looking at myself, look at that fat face. I got fat face. And you, on the other hand, you got skinny face. You've got skinny face. I've got fat face.
208, Carm. The march to 200 continues.
I mean, I was down to 176. I bet I'm 184.
Oh, God. If I was 176, I think I was 176 when I was 12 years old.
Yeah, well, I got to get back there. It's we got a workout schedule tomorrow, MLK Day. Celebrate it if you're off or whether you're not off. Enjoy one of the greatest people in the history of the planet,
yes.
Martin Luther King. Okay, we'll see you Wednesday for our midweek. Get you ready for the championship weekend. Thank you for listening to Stacking the Box. We'll see you next time.